الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Someone just close the blind, that blind. جزاك الله. Acha, alhamdulillah, last week we completed a very short chapter. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought the chapter last week which discussed the shafa'ah, the intercession. And we mentioned a few ahadith in regards to the intercession and how when a person does, we should always take the opportunity. I think it's coming from the top, isn't it? There's no... It's okay, it's going from the top. Look over here. That's better. So last week we did the chapter wherein we discussed the intercession and how it's very virtuous, an act of great reward for a person to intercede for someone in need. Okay, if anybody comes to me and they say, "Bhai, look, you are a person, Allah has given you a position, you know such and such a person." For example, let's say, "Actually, you're an Imam Sahib. As Imam Sahib, you know this other scholar, and for example, I want to get my child's admission into that madrasa. I gave this example last week. So can you please go and speak to them on my behalf?" Now this is intercession. Or somebody says, "You're a very, you know a lot of people. You know the counselor, you know the governor, you know such and such person, the MP. Can you please go and speak to the MP on my behalf?" So they've come to me for help, knowing that I'm in a position to be able to help them. I'm in a position to be able to go to someone more senior to seek assistance for them. And we mentioned all of the virtues about doing that. And if a person helps another person in need like that. So this week, the next chapter Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings in his book Riyadu Salihin is titled Babul Islahi Bayn An-Nas. The chapter which discusses rectifying the affairs of the people. So when two people come to me with issues, with problems, with difficulties, how I should be concerned about making sure that their problems are, how I should try and resolve their problems. I know that two people have issues, two people have a problem, they don't talk to each other, they don't get on well with each other. How I should make it my priority and my concern. And it doesn't even have to be that they come to me with the problem, rather automatically as soon as I find out, could I have two Muslim brothers or two Muslim sisters who are not talking to each other, who don't like each other. And this starts from family. We have issues where we don't even talk to family. This is about any Muslim who doesn't talk to another Muslim. Immediately I should make it my priority to make sure that these two people unite with each other, that they have ittifaq, that they are close to each other, that they start talking to each other and they start having love for each other. So this is the chapter wherein these ahadith will be discussed. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi starts the chapter with the verses of the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. لا خير في كثير من نجواهم إلا من أمر بصدقة أو معروف أو إصلاح بين الناس. Allah Ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa about people who have conversations. In Urdu, we call this sargoshia. When people have private conversations, when they whisper to each other. So many times what happens when we have our circles and our groups and we're talking. Many times what happens in those quiet and secret conversations, we end up talking bad about other people. We end up usurping the rights, taking away the rights of other people. We end up doing ghibah about other people. So this is generally what happens in our private conversations, in our whispering, in our quiet one-to-one gatherings. So Allah Ta'ala says, لا خير في كثير من نجواهم. Most people who sit down and talk quietly to each other, whisper to each other, privately to each other, most of their conversations have no benefit. Allah Ta'ala is saying, most of the people throughout the world who have private conversations, their conversations have no faida, have no benefit. إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ. Except for someone who commands somebody else to give sadaqah, to give charity. أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ. Or someone who tells someone else to do an act of goodness, that do something good, tell someone to do something good. أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Or someone who talks to someone privately to rectify his affairs with somebody else. I find out Haji Sahib doesn't talk to somebody else. I say, "Haji Sahib, sit down. Why don't you talk to that brother? Why don't you make up? What has he done? Let me see if I can help. Let me see if I can be a solution." So these are private conversations that I'm having. Allah Ta'ala is saying only three types of private conversations are beneficial. First one is when you tell someone to give charity, sadaqah. Second is when you tell someone to do anything good, command someone to do something good. And thirdly, when you rectify between two people. So Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that in this Allah Ta'ala is saying these three actions are generally when a person talks, the entire speech can be brought down, the beneficial speech can come down to these three actions. When a person talks, every word that comes out of my mouth, beneficial speech can be boiled down to these three actions. Telling someone to spend in charity. Telling someone to spend in charity, or helping somebody with charity. Telling someone to do a good action. Or uniting between two people who are not speaking to each other, who are not on good terms with each other. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, meaning to be united is always better than to be separate, to be disunited. To be united, to be happy with each other, is always better than to be disunited. Allah Ta'ala also says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Fear Allah and rectify your affairs amongst yourself. Correct your affairs. If there's anybody who doesn't talk to anyone, anybody who has problems or issues with anyone, then make sure in this dunya, in this world, you rectify your affairs with each other. Because the Muslims are supposed to be like one body, brothers. There should be no issues in my heart for anybody else. I should have no enmity, no anger, no hatred. And if these things do develop because of some dealings, as soon as possible, try and finish these things, as soon as possible. If somebody has done something to me, naturally I will get offended, I will get hurt, I will get affected. But then a person should start thinking, it's been a day, it's been 2 days, it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, it's been a year. It's been a year. How long am I going to hold on to that in my heart? As a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala has made it my responsibility to forgive and to forget. Even if the person is very stubborn, even if the person will not see their mistake, a lot of times it happens. I know I haven't done much wrong, but that person does not see his mistake. Till he does not see his mistake, I'm not ready to make up with him. I'm not ready to talk to him. Allah Ta'ala has not made it a condition that the person has to see their mistake. The person has to apologize. No. Allah Ta'ala says, you forgive and you forget. فَعْفُوا وَصْفَحُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Indeed, the believers are brothers. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. So rectify the affairs between the brothers. Any of the brothers do not talk to each other, do not get on with each other. Make them, build those bonds of friendship, build those ties. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to deal with the Sahaba. And the Sahaba were not, everybody was at mashallah very soft and kind and all of the good qualities that we see in someone. People were of so many different, you know, types and shapes and understanding and thought processes and the way they used to talk. Some people were very harsh in the way they used to talk. Some people had no respect. Some people were very rude. Some people were very elderly, and sometimes elderly people, they come across as very harsh. Some people were very young. All of these different types of people would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every single one of those people, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would deal with in the best possible manner. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made those people of all different backgrounds love each other like brothers and like family. So these are the teachings of Islam. It doesn't have to be that I... And remember, one thing is naturally to feel in my heart a closeness, for example, with Haji Sahab, because me and Haji Sahab have a lot in common. For example, we have a lot in common, so I feel that natural closeness with him. But that's normal, that's natural. But it doesn't mean that just because I get on with him, I don't get on with anybody else. I just want to stay with him. I just want to talk to him. No, rather it's... I need to behave with other people the same way as I would behave with my closest people. And this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Everybody that would come to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel that he loved them the most. This is because of the way he would come across to them. Moving on to the hadith of this chapter, the first hadith. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس يعدل بين الاثنين صدقة ويعين الرجل في دابته فيحمله عليها ويرفع له عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وبكل خطوة يمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميط الأذى عن الطريق صدقة متفق عليه. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ سُلَامَ مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ صَدَقَةٌ. That every part of your body has a sadaqah that you need to give to Allah Ta'ala. Meaning you need to pay back, you need to express gratitude for every single joint of your body that Allah has given. Remember, every single ni'mah, every single blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, we need to express shukr for this, gratitude for this. that Allah Ta'ala has given me a ni'mah. Some ulama mentioned in your body there are 360 joints. 360 joints. Each of those joints a person needs to express shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, this body that Allah has given you, the ni'mah, the blessing, in this body there are so many different ni'mahs, blessings just in this human body. And every day you need to give sadaqah for this. Every single day. It doesn't mean today I sit down and I say, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Oh Allah, all praise is for you, all gratitude is for you for giving these blessings. Today I've done it for the next week. No. Every single day it's wajib, it's necessary for you to give this sadaqah. Every single day it's wajib for you to do this shukr, express gratitude. For the eyes, for the ears, for the body, for the feet that walk, for the hands that move. Every single small blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Because Allah ta'ala, if He wanted to, He can take it away. Every single day Allah ta'ala is giving you the ability, giving us the ability to utilize our body in the way that we see fit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسُ. Every single day that the sun rises. Every single day that the sun rises, it's necessary for you to give sadaqah on behalf of gratitude, to show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings Allah has given. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, it's very difficult maybe sometimes to say, Oh Allah, thank you for my hands, thank you for my feet that walk, thank you for my heart that beats, thank you for my brain that works. It might be difficult for us to give sadaqah for every single thing. So what's another way of giving sadaqah for everything? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةٌ. Somebody who rectifies the affairs of two people, that's one sadaqah for them. Meaning someone, two people do not talk to each other. They go and unite them. They go and make them brothers. Bye bye, banjao. This is a sadaqah for them. This is expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُعِينُ الرَّجُلَ فِي دَابَّتِهِ. Helping a person to go onto his animal. A person is trying to go somewhere, obviously. Now we don't ride on animals, we ride in cars or something like this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, helping a person, assisting a person to climb onto his animal, to go somewhere. This is a sadaqah. فَيَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. So you help him to sit on top of his animal. أَوْ يَرْفَعُ لَهُ عَلَيْهَا مَتَاعَهُ صَدَقَةً. Or to lift his luggage and place it on top of his conveyance. This is also a sadaqah for yourself. وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. Every good word that you speak is sadaqah. Every good word. Ulama say, for example, saying assalamu alaikum. This is a beautiful, this is the best of words. Assalamu alaikum, beautiful dua that you make. Any dua that you make for your Muslim brother, this is a sadaqah. Smiling at your Muslim brother is a sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to remove something from the path is sadaqah. Smiling at your brother is sadaqah. All of these things are sadaqah. He mentions it here as well. وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ يَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةٌ. Every step a person takes towards namaz, towards the masjid for salah, this is a sadaqah. وَتُمِيطُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةٌ. And to remove anything harmful from the path is sadaqah. Remove anything harmful. You see something that will harm someone, it's something sharp or something dangerous or something which is damaging for someone, you move that from the path, this is also sadaqah. This is also you expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maybe sometimes a person doesn't sit there and say, Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. But because of all their actions of helping other people, Allah ta'ala will take this as the sadaqah that was due for him to give on a daily basis. And Allah say, this final point, وَتُمِيطُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ, that removing something harmful from the path, this is the lowest form of sadaqah. That's why another hadith you have, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that iman has 73 branches. أَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The most superior of those branches is to say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And the lowest, وَأَدْنَاهَا إِمَاطَةُ الْعَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ. The lowest of those branches is to move something harmful from the path. But even this is also a sadaqah. I'll do inshallah one more hadith and then we'll finish inshallah. وعن أم كلثوم بنت عقبة بن أبي معيط رضي الله عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس فينمي خيرا أو يقول خيرا. وفي رواية مسلم زيادة قالت ولم أسمعه يرخص في شيء مما يقول الناس إلا في ثلاث تعني الحرب والإصلاح بين الناس وحديث الرجل امرأته وحديث المرأة زوجها. متفق عليه. سيدنا أم كلثوم بنت عقبة ابن أبي معيط. This is a famous Sahabiya, which is not so famous. Her father was more famous. And her father was one of the leaders of the Quraysh, a very evil man, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt. But his daughter was one of the early Muslims. And she was one of the early females to become Muslim, and she migrated with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she mentioned she only narrated 10 ahadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she mentioned this hadith. She says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, "Laysa al-kadhdhab alladhi yuslihu bayna an-nas." That person is not classified as a liar who lies or speaks something which is not true to unite between the people. So for example, he says, for example, let's say myself and Haji Sahib, aapko aaj main misal bana raha hu. For example, me and Haji Sahib, let's say we don't talk. Somebody knows. And they come and they go to Haji Sahib and say, "Haji Sahib, you know, this Imam Sahib, he's been praising you. He's been talking very good things about you. Why do you not talk to him? He really likes you. Well, he's feeling shy to come to you and talk to you. I think you should go to him and talk to him first." Somebody does this. He's lying. I've not said a good thing about Haji. I've got bad things to say about Haji Sahib. But this person is saying this so that Haji Sahib becomes inclined towards me. And then they come to me and say, "Oh, do you know, Haji Sahib is praising you. Haji Sahib is saying good things about you." So these are lies. These are not true. I've not said these things. Haji Sahib has not said these things. But the person's intention, even though these are lies, the person's intention is to unite us, make us brothers again. So this is his intention. So Sayyidatuna Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, she's saying, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, this person is not a liar. He's not even classified as a liar. This is not even a lie to speak that which is not true to unite between the people. فَيَنْمِي خَيْرًا أَوْ يَقُولُ خَيْرًا. Someone who either conveys a good word, so for example, either they come directly to Haji Sahib and say, "Oh, Imam Sahib said this about you, good things." Or they tell somebody else to go. So even though these words may be lies, but because the intention is so noble, this is not regarded as a lie in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Sayyidatina Umm Kulthum, she goes on to mention, she says, وَلَمْ أَسْمَعْهُ يُرَخِّصُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّمَّا يَقُولُ النَّاسُ إِلَّا فِي ثَلَاثٍ. That I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes to lying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only permitted three people, only allowed three people to lie. And he said these three people's lies are not, they're not sins, they're not guna. The first one is ta'ni al-harba. The first situation is when it comes to the battlefield. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh. You okay, brother? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that lying is permitted in these three situations. The first situation is on the battlefield. Because battlefield, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in another hadith, al-harbu khuda'a. Battlefield is tactics. It's all about tactics. How you can win your opposition. How you can win your opposition. So sometimes it does come to speaking that which is not the truth. And secondly, wal-islaha bayna an-nas. That if a person lies to rectify the affairs between two people, like I gave the example, I go to someone and I say, for example, I know person A does not speak to person B, and I go to person B and I say, "You know, person A, he's mentioning very good things about you, whereas he's not." But I want person B to start talking to person A again. So I'm lying, but because my intention is noble, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is not a lie, this is not classified as a lie. Because your intention is to stop two people from disliking each other, from breaking up with each other. You're trying to get two people to be brothers with each other again. And finally, the third situation is وَحَدِيثَ الرَّجُلِ إِمْرَأَتَهُ. And from the conversation that a man has with his wife, and the conversation that a wife has with her husband. This is also not a lie. For example, if the husband says to the wife, "You are the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world." Right? He says, "You're the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. He may in his heart may not believe that she is the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. Technically, it's not even possible that she is the most beautiful woman in the whole wide world. However, he says this. Why? Because he wants to increase the muhabbat, the love, the affinity, the connection in this marriage. So this is why he says this, because the intention is so noble. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is not a lie. Similarly, if the wife was to say to her husband, "You are the most handsome person that I've ever laid my eyes on," Right? This, all of this is because it's increasing the marriage, it's making the marriage a more fully functional, a more better operational marriage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are not situations that are classified as lying, rather a person is getting reward for such thing. Some scholars still mention that, look, you should always avoid this lying. Even if it comes to these situations, you should try and say something which is may seem like a lie, but it's not a lie. And the example they give is, for example, in the Quran, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the Day of Judgment, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam will be worried, and the only thing he will be worried about, he will say, the three times in the world where I spoke something which was not the truth. And in the Quran, Allah mentions all those three times. But if you see all those three situations, you see that Ibrahim alayhi salam, it looked like he spoke a lie, whereas it wasn't a lie. For example, the first time when he was a young boy, and then the people came to see him and they said, because he was thinking, I want to test these idols. I don't believe these idols are gods. So I want to test them. When the people came to him and he thought, the best day is when they all go to parties, their Eid day, they all go to party. So when they were all going to party, they came to him and said, oh Ibrahim, are you not going to come with us? And he said, قَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيم, I am ill, I am sick. So because he said, I am sick, they left him alone and they went. So this may seem like a lie because he wasn't actually physically sick. He wasn't physically, he had no health illness. The ulama say, remember, sickness doesn't just have to be physical illness, you can have a mental illness. You can have different kinds of illnesses. So he's saying, I am sick because I am trying to recognize my Creator. I have this sickness. So it's still not it's what we call a white lie, isn't it? It's what we call a white lie. It's not not a lie which is 100% a lie. There's some shadow of truth to it. And there are other examples as well in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, this happened. And similarly, Yusuf alayhi salam, when Yusuf alayhi salam's brother, Binyamin, when Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when his brothers had put him in the well, and then the long story, and then he goes to Egypt, and then he becomes the governor of Egypt. And then later his brothers come to him many years later, and they come to him in need. And he's the governor, and they don't recognize that he's the governor. And they bring his youngest brother Binyamin. So he wants to keep his younger brother Binyamin. So in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that an announcement is made. So what they do is they place a cup that belongs to Yusuf alayhi salam, a utensil that belongs to Yusuf alayhi salam, into the luggage of the brothers. And they put it in the luggage of Binyamin. And Binyamin is told, Yusuf alayhi salam tells Binyamin that I am Yusuf, I am your brother, but I want to test my brothers. So what he does is he places something into the luggage of Binyamin. And then in the Quran, Allah mentions, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. The announcement is made that you people are thieves, whereas they are not actually thieves. They weren't actually thieves. This was all planned. Yusuf alayhi salam had planned this. They didn't actually steal anything. But Allah Ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran, that innakum lasariqun. So the ulama mentioned that again. Look, Yusuf alayhi, if this was a bad lie, then Allah Ta'ala would not mention this in the Quran. The reason why Allah Ta'ala is mentioning this in the Quran, the reason why Yusuf alayhi salam did this, is because he wants to test his brothers. His brothers have done zulm upon him. They've wronged him, they've oppressed him. And he wants to reveal this, he wants to make this come to light. So again, this is a greater purpose, a greater intention. So we should always try our best to not lie directly. If a person, some ulama were of the opinion that even lying is wrong. But again, we shouldn't, because obviously in Islam, the famous hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that if a person speaks a lie, that the angels that are with him, they go 1 mile far away because of the stench, a foul smell that comes from the person's mouth. That's why we should always be very careful and try our best to avoid lying. But in these situations, if there is no other way, and you know the only way I can make these two people make up is by saying something which may not be the truth, then it's fine to do that, and a person will get rewarded for doing that in that situation. Allah Ta'ala gives all the tawfiq and the ability to act upon these ahadith. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.